Hey, it's time for the children's story. Who wants to come up for a children's story? Come on up. Yahoo! Miss Julie has a story for you today.
Good morning. Can everyone hear me? Okay. This story takes place in 1994, before you all were born, in Russia. Well, you were born in, okay. You were born, okay. But you're a mom, so that doesn't count. Okay, and it takes place in Russia, which is a very big country far away from here. And it's different than the United States. It's big like the United States, but it's much colder in Russia. So even our coldest day in California would never be like Russia. It'd be very, very cold. And the government of Russia didn't allow people to worship Jesus. The government was against Christianity. And they would not allow the Bibles for a long time. And stories about Jesus, they were against it. And you could get punished and put in jail or even killed if you revealed that you were a Christian. But things were changing in Russia. So what happened was the Department of Education in Russia invited two American missionaries to go over and teach morals and Bible stories to Russian children in school and to orphanages in Russia, which there are a lot of, and to prisons. And these Americans were very excited because they knew the people hadn't heard about Jesus. Some of them haven't ever heard about Jesus. So it was Christmas time, and they went to visit an orphanage that had about 100 children your age. And they decided that they would tell the story of Jesus' birth and the Christmas story that you all know. And as they were telling the story, they had to use a translator who would convert the English language to the Russian language. And as the translator was translating the story of Jesus being born in the manger, even the adults taking care of the children were on the edge of their seat. They hadn't heard the story before. And while they were doing the story, they let the children get these three pieces of cardboard, and they were going to make a manger. And then they got a little bit of some yellow napkin and tore it up to make the hay, because they didn't have any colored paper at the orphanage. Where your school has a lot of colored paper, they didn't have any in the whole city. So they had to use this old napkin that was yellow, and they kind of tore it up and made the hay. And then they gave them a little tan piece of felt that one of the Americans had brought that they used to make the baby doll Jesus to put in the manger. And what happened was one of the Americans, after he told the story, he was walking around checking to see if the kids were getting their mangers together, and he came across the table where this little boy named Misha was sitting, and he was 6 years old. And all of a sudden he looked down, he says, there's two babies in his manger. And so he quickly called the translator over and said, you need to ask him, why is there two babies in that manger? Because he knew the little boy was listening to the story. So I am going to read you what Misha said to the missionary, because I can't exactly do it justice. So here's what he said. All the way up until the story where Mary lays the baby in the little manger, all the way up until that point, he got the story perfectly right. But then he began to ad lib to the story. And this is what he said. Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. And I told him, I have no mama and I have no papa, so I don't have any place to stay. Then Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told him I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to give him like everybody else. Remember, the wise men did have a gift, right? So this little boy thought he had to have a gift. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought about what I had that maybe I could use for a gift. And I thought maybe I kept him warm, then that would be a good gift. So, what do you think he did? He says, I asked Jesus, if I keep you warm, will that be a good enough gift? And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, That will be the best gift anyone ever gave me. So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me, and he told me I could stay with him for always. As little Misha finished his story, what happened? He started to cry because he realized that Jesus was his forever friend, and he had never heard that story before. So from that point on, the little orphan had found someone who would never abandon him or abuse him, someone who would stay with him forever and always. What you always have to remember is when Tuesday comes and Christmas Day is here, you're going to have gifts. But what's more important than anything under the tree is your parents and the love of all the family that's around you, right? It's important to have your family with you. Okay, Merry Christmas. Oh, wait, I have to figure this out. Instead of baskets, you are going to grab a stocking, and you're going to go down. All these people, make sure you go into the aisles. They want to give you some offering that's going to go to Honduras and the mission trip that's happening 2 months from now. So make sure you get a stocking in your hand before you leave. Do you need a stocking?
Every time I think about when I see little Jordan walking up for his children's story, I think of this little girl that we met in Honduras. And go out and find someone. And and she's the same age. She was the same age as Jordan. But how much does Jordan weigh now? Well, she weighed 8 pounds. Oh, look there, Jordan. Look at that. And so when I think of the blessings that Jordan has, every time you give to help us when we go to Honduras, it's blessings for those children down there. And they may never meet you, although you could have the opportunity to meet them if you go with us. And it's just a beautiful thing to be able to help someone else, even when they don't ever get a chance to meet you. And that's really what mission work is all about, is making a difference in somebody else's life. And you know, we're greatly blessed to be part of a worldwide church. And you know, when someone leaves our church and goes somewhere else to be part of a different mission organization or something, they're not leaving our church. They're expanding our horizons as our church. And so, even though it's tough for us to watch people leave, but we've had lots of people leave from our church and go. We have people in Guam, and we have people in lots of different places that are serving as missionaries. Thank you very much. So thank you for giving to the children in Honduras. Just set it right here.
Let us bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much for this wonderful season where we can think upon the precious gift that you gave us as your life by coming into this world as a baby. And you didn't even think about comforts or gifts. You just thought about us. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for giving us life and for the warmth and the roof over our heads that so many times we forget we don't deserve. But most importantly, Father, I just want to thank you for your love that you give us and for this church family that we have here. And I just want to lift up people that are dear to our hearts that are not having a wonderful time right now. I just pray that you'll be with Shiloh's mother, who is right now in the hospital, not doing so well. And I just pray that you'll be with that family and comfort them and be with Shiloh. Give her strength. She's taking care of her mama. I know it must be really hard on her. I also pray that you'll be with Diane Anzai. I can only imagine what she's going through, but even then it would probably not be exactly right. I just pray that you please be with her and comfort her and let her know that there are lots of people that love her, and whatever happens, Lord, that you will take care of her and protect her and her family. Pray that also be with Joyce Mulligan. Thank you so much for all that she does in this church and for this conference. I just pray now that you be with her sister who is struggling with breast cancer. I just pray that you be with all the people that we don't even know about, that we rub shoulders with every single day, that go through so much. I pray for everyone here who has silent requests that maybe would be ashamed to mention some of the things that they're going through. And so I just pray for everyone in this church, outside of this church, that I pray that you please do a wonderful thing and send the Holy Spirit here to bless us as we have worship with you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm delighted to be able to spend this special time with you. Lord Jesus, today as we open your word, may we be reminded of your great generosity and inspired to reflect it to the people around us, not just this season, but every season. For we ask in your name. Amen. Tonight I want to tell you the story of an empty stocking. Once upon a midnight clear, there was a child's cry. A blazing star hung over a stable, and wise men came with birthday gifts. We haven't forgotten that night down through the centuries. We celebrate it with stars on Christmas trees, with the sound of bells, and with gifts. But especially with gifts. You give me a book, I give you a tie. Aunt Martha has always wanted an orange squeezer, and Uncle Henry can do with a new pipe. We forget nobody, adult or child. All the stockings are filled, all that is, except one. And we've even forgotten to hang it up, the stocking for the child born in a manger. It's his birthday we're celebrating. Don't let us ever forget that. Let us ask ourselves what he would wish for most, then let each put in his share, loving kindness, warm hearts, and a stretched out hand of tolerance, all the shining gifts that make peace on earth. Did that sound familiar? That piece of prose? If you're an old timer, you may remember that it comes from a movie. If you're really old, you'll remember that it came from the movie The Bishop's Wife. Remember that movie? David Niven and Loretta Young. David Niven played a bishop who was in charge of an important diocese in New York. He was charged with raising money, for a new cathedral that he wanted to build. And how he got so wrapped up in raising money for this new cathedral that was more like a monument to himself than anything else, that he forgot to consider the most important things, and that was his family and the people around him. And how in the course of this movie, Cary Grant, of all people, comes disguised as the angel Dudley and comes to remind Henry of the important things. And this is Henry's sermon at the end of the movie, reminding us that it's not about the gifts we give to each other, but it's about the gift we give to Christ. I'm going to call an audible here. I spoke to some of you about our plans for singing. We're not going to sing because we've had enough music, but I do want you to read. We're going to sing one song more, but I want you to hear the original Christmas story, just so that you can be reminded that this is why we're here. This is the season we're celebrating. It's not because of the gifts. It's not because of the people. It's because of the baby. So reader number one, I think that's you, Mona. Would you stand and read? Yeah, stand.
Birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of David. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill that which the Lord has said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor over Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, it came time for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
So there you have it, the Christmas story. It's all there, the wise men, the shepherds, the baby. The gifts. How is it that this season has become primarily revolved around the gifts? Maybe because God so loved the world that he gave. Maybe because those wise men brought gifts. For whatever reason, it seems like the gifts are the most important things. What is Christmas without gifts? And so, Christmas puts us in the giving spirit. Everybody wants you to give. In our church at the General Conference, they have big boxes where we've been putting in toys and coats and stuff because it's Christmas and we have to give. At our church, we've been having boxes where we bring toys and coats and gifts because it's Christmas. That's what people do at Christmas. The television stations, the radio stations, they all have drives, toys, food, gifts, because that's what we do at Christmas time. But it makes you wonder, what do we do the rest of the year? Just sit on our hands and forget about the gifts? Forget about the people in need? Doesn't matter, we'll get them at Christmas time next year. You see, giving isn't just something that we do once a year. I'm just not going to pick up those pieces of paper and take them back and pack them away till next year. Giving is something Christians do by definition. That's what makes us Christians. We give. And one of the things we do best as a church is give. I had the privilege of having worship for the ADRA people not long ago. And I said, one of the things I appreciate about you the most is that you're out there and you're giving. You're representing Christ. You're representing our church. You're doing something good for the people. Wherever you go, you're giving. That's what we do best because we're Christians. I want to share with you a story that's an allegory. It's not meant to be taken literally, but it has some good points in it. You'll enjoy it. It's called The Story of Barrington Bunny. Have you heard it? Anybody heard this story? Nobody? Barrington Bunny. Okay, don't tell anybody how it works. Okay. Once upon a time in a large forest, there lived a very furry bunny. He had one lop ear, a tiny black nose, and unusually shiny eyes. His name was Barrington. Barrington wasn't really a very handsome bunny. He was brown and speckled, and his ears didn't stand upright. But he could hop, and he was, as I said, very furry. In a way, winter is fun for bunnies because it gives them an opportunity to hop in the snow and then turn around and see where they've hopped. So in a way, winter was fun for Barrington. But in another way, winter made Barrington sad. For you see, winter marked the time when all the animal families got together in their cozy homes to celebrate Christmas. Barrington could hop, and he was furry, but as far as Barrington knew, he was the only bunny in the forest. When Christmas Eve finally came, Barrington didn't feel like going home all by himself, so he decided that he'd hop for a while in the clearing in the center of the forest. Hop, hop, hippity hop, Barrington made tracks in the fresh snow. Hop, hop, hippity hop, then he cocked his head and looked back at the wonderful designs he had made. Bunnies, he thought to himself, can hop, and they're very warm too because of how furry they are. But Barrington didn't really know whether or not this was true of all bunnies, since he had never met another bunny. When it got too dark to see the tracks he was making, Barrington made up his mind to go home. On his way, however, he passed a large oak tree. High in the branches, there was a great deal of excited chattering going on. Barrington looked up. It was the squirrel family. What a marvelous time they seemed to be having. "Hello up there," called Barrington. "Hello down there," came the reply. "Having a Christmas party?" asked Barrington. "Oh, yes," answered the squirrels. "It's Christmas Eve. Everybody's having a Christmas party." "May I come to your party?" said Barrington softly. "Are you a squirrel?" "No." "What are you then?" "A bunny." "A bunny?" "Yes." "Well, how can you come to our party if you're a bunny? Bunnies can't climb trees." "That's true," said Barrington thoughtfully. "But I can hop, and I'm very furry and warm." "We're sorry," called the squirrels. "We don't know anything about hopping and being furry, but we do know that in order to come to our house, you have to be able to climb trees." "Oh, well," said Barrington. "Merry Christmas." "Merry Christmas," chattered the squirrels, and the unfortunate bunny hopped off toward his tiny house. It was beginning to snow when Barrington reached the river. Near the riverbank was a wonderfully constructed house of sticks and mud. Inside, there were singing. "It's the beavers," thought Barrington. "Maybe they'll let me come to their party." So he knocked on the door. "Who's out there?" called a voice. "Barrington Bunny," he replied. There was a long pause. Then a shiny beaver head broke the water. "Hello, Barrington," said the beaver. "May I come to your Christmas party?" asked Barrington. The beaver thought for a while, then he said, "I suppose so. Can you swim?" "No," said Barrington, "but I can hop, and I'm very furry and warm." "Sorry," said the beaver, "I don't know anything about hopping and being furry, but I do know that in order to come to our house, you have to be able to swim." "Oh, well," Barrington muttered, his eyes filling with tears. "I suppose that's true. Merry Christmas." "Merry Christmas," called the beaver, and he disappeared under the surface of the water. Even being as furry as he was, Barrington was beginning to get cold, and the snow was falling so hard that his tiny bunny eyes could scarcely see what was ahead of him. He was almost home, however, when he heard the excited squeaking of field mice beneath the ground. "It's a party," thought Barrington, and suddenly he blurted out through his tears, "Hello, field mice, this is Barrington Bunny. May I come to your party?" But the wind was howling so loudly, and Barrington was sobbing so much that no one heard him. And when there was no response at all, Barrington just sat down in the snow and began to cry with all his might. "Bunnies," he thought, "aren't any good to anyone. What good is it to be furry and to be asked to hop if you don't have any family on Christmas Eve?" Barrington cried and cried, and when he stopped crying, he began to bite on his bunny's foot, but he didn't move from where he was sitting in the snow. Suddenly, Barrington was aware that he wasn't alone. He looked up and strained his shiny eyes to see who was there. To his surprise, he saw a great silver wolf. The wolf was large and strong, and his eyes flashed fire. He was the most beautiful animal Barrington had ever seen. For a long time, the silver wolf didn't say anything at all. He just stood there and looked at Barrington with those terrible eyes. Then slowly and deliberately, the wolf spoke. "Barrington," he said in a gentle voice, Why are you sitting in the snow? Because it's Christmas Eve, said Barrington, and I don't have any family, and bunnies aren't any good to anyone. Bunnies are too good, said the wolf. Bunnies can hop, and they are very warm. What good is that? Barrington sniffed. It's very good indeed, the wolf went on, because it's a gift that bunnies are given, a free gift with no strings attached. And every gift that is given to anyone is given for a reason. Someday you'll see why it's good to hop and to be warm and furry. But it's Christmas, moaned Barrington, and I'm all alone. I don't have any family at all. Of course you do, replied the great silver wolf. All the animals in the forest are your family. And then the wolf disappeared. He simply wasn't there. Barrington had only blinked his eyes, and when he looked, the wolf was gone. All of the animals in the forest are my family, thought Barrington. It's good to be a bunny. Bunnies can hop. That's a gift. Then he said it again. A gift. A free gift. On into the night, Barrington worked. First, he found the best stick he could find, and that was difficult because of the snow. Then hop, hop, hippity hop, to the beaver's house. He left the stick just outside the door with a note that read, "Here's a good stick for your house. It's a gift, a free gift, no string attached, signed, a member of your family." It's a good thing I can hop, he thought, because the snow is very deep. Then Barrington dug and dug. Soon he had gathered together enough dead leaves and grass to make the squirrel's nest warmer. Hop, hop, hippity hop. He laid the grass and leaves just under the large oak tree and attached this message. A gift, a free gift, from a member of your family. It was late when Barrington finally started home. And what made things worse was that he knew a blizzard was beginning. Hop, hop, hippity hop. Soon poor Barrington was lost. The wind howled furiously and was very, very cold. Certainly is cold, Barrington said out loud. It's a good thing I'm so furry, but if I don't find my way home pretty soon, even I might freeze. Then he heard, squeak, squeak. Then he saw it, a baby field mouse lost in the snow. And the little mouse was crying. Hello, little mouse, Barrington called. Don't cry, I'll be right there. Hippity-hop, and Barrington was right beside the tiny mouse. I'm lost, sobbed the tiny fellow. I'll never find my way home, and I know I'm going to freeze. You won't freeze, said Barrington. I'm a bunny, and bunnies are very furry and warm. You stay right where you are, and I'll cover you up. Barrington lay on top of the little mouse and hugged him tight. The tiny fellow felt himself surrounded by warm fur. He cried for a while, but soon, snug and warm, he fell asleep. Barrington had only two thoughts that long, cold night. First, he thought, it's good to be a bunny. Bunnies are very furry and warm. Then, when he felt the heart of the tiny mouse beneath him beating regularly, he thought, all the animals of the forest are my family. Next morning, the field mice found their little boy asleep in the snow, warm and snug, beneath the furry carcass of a dead bunny. Their relief and excitement was so great that they didn't even think to question where the bunny had come from. And as far as for the beavers and the squirrels, they still wonder what member of the family left the little gifts for them that Christmas Eve. After the field mice had left, Barrington's frozen body simply lay in the snow. There was no sound except that of the howling wind, and no one anywhere in the forest noticed the great silver wolf who came to stand beside that brown, lop-eared carcass. But the wolf did come, and he stood there without moving or saying a word all Christmas Day until it was night. Then he disappeared into the forest. You know, Christmas is a season of giving, most of the time, so that we can say, I gave you this, so you give me that. Not often do we give just for the sake of giving? And yet that's exactly what Jesus did. He came to give, not expecting anything back, hoping that we would respond to his love, but not forcing us to. And that's why you're going to think this odd, but one of the greatest Christmas verses is in Ephesians chapter 4, where in verse 7 he says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." And down in verse 11 it says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." God gives us gifts. We're all given gifts. Our gifts aren't the same. Some of us can hop. Some of us are warm and furry. Some of us can do gifts of kindness to our neighbors. Some of us have the gift of compassion. Some of us have the gift of teaching, the gift of prophecy, the gift of good works, the gift of encouragement, the gift of generosity. We don't all have the same gifts. But this is the season when we're reminded that our gifts are not just given for this season. They're given for all year long. It's a good thing that we have this season when we're reminded that Christmas is about giving. But it's not the only season for giving. Christmas is the time when we're reminded that there's more important things than receiving things. There's giving things. And we have to be about God's business of giving things if we're going to fulfill his purpose for us in this community. Okay, we're going to sing one more song, and we're going to sing hymn number 126, but we're going to use the tune from 224, all right? So I don't want you guys to get complacent here. So hymn number 126, and you're going to have to kind of follow me with the words because the words don't exactly match the tune that you're going to be playing. Okay, yeah, it's going to be a gift. It's a gift. So just play it through once so we can get the feel of it. Okay, follow me. Here we go.
In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Angels may have gathered there, cherubim and seraphim throng the air, but his mother only in her maiden bliss worshiped worship the beloved with a kiss.
And this is the verse I want you to notice.
What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? I will give my heart.
Lord Jesus, the gifts we have to offer you are so pitiful compared to the gift that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for this season of giving. Thank you for the reminder. Please inspire us, not only this season, but throughout the year, that the best way to reflect your love to the people around us is by giving. Help us to be creative in finding ways of giving so that you will be glorified and that people around us will know that we serve you because you love and because you give. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.